Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve off-court problems. They'll talk about the latest news in college and professional basketball with coaches like Jim Boeheim, former players like Stephanie White, basketball analysts like Grant Hill, and more. Revealing insights that made them into the leaders they are today. And don't miss President Obama, sharing how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
It's here, Kansas fans. A new era is here. This is the Booth Review postgame show presented by Emprise Bank. You may not get Alexa to fold the laundry, but you can transfer money with voice banking. Transfer money, make a loan payment, get your routing number, and even find ATMs while making dinner or the TV timeout of the Jayhawk game. I am here with my dear pal Scott Chasen, who is live from the booth, from a sold-out experience at the booth. Scott Chasen at Twitter, or at Scott, Chasen Scott. I'm discombobulated at Chasen Scott on Twitter. Hi. Yeah,
hello, Kent. If the service is bad, it's because 50,000 people were just here, so I apologize in advance if I cut out at all. No, Kent, electric atmosphere, electric game. I think you're starting to see Kansas turn a page here from like the team that it's kind of a meme and kind of funny that they're winning to a team that was absolutely better than Duke, should have won that game by more than they did. I mean, first drive, fourth and one, turn it over on downs at the 1 yard line. Then they have a fumble. I mean, those were Duke's only stops until what, like the fourth quarter of this game, basically. So look, Kansas, again, this is another time where you say Kansas kind of dominated this game and showed up great. But Kansas handled some expectations with a big crowd in a really important game. That is a huge step for this program. It wasn't the prettiest result. I think that's a huge step for this Kansas football team.
So I was at the booth today. I was with my wife. And I was actually with both my kids. We had some stuff fall through late. Not just the favorite one. We had our six-year-old and our 14-month-old at the booth in the family section. I felt the expectations as a fan. And I think there was more people kind of in the same boat as I was at that stadium. Like, you could feel the expectations. You could feel the tension of wanting to just root for this football team and wanting them to kind of, you know, break through in another big way. And I didn't understand that magnitude, I don't think, until I got there. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was not the prettiest game, but this team fought the expectations and it fought a 3-0 Duke team and was inarguably better than them. That game was fake close to me. I think there was really the only thing that Duke had going for them during this game was throwing out big chunk outside the number fade routes, you know, some big chunk plays. Winning at the catch point. That was really it for the Duke offense, I thought personally. And then this KU team shot themselves in the foot several times to keep this game in arm's reach of Duke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Kent, defensively, what Kansas wanted to do today was stop the run. And they did. Again, effectively, they turned Duke into a passing team, which Duke still had some success doing. And, you know, at times had success offensively. But again, to your point, Kansas left more points on the board than Duke did. And this was a game where you look up at the scoreboard, and for most of the first half, Duke's sitting there at like 10 points, give or take. I think they got a field goal late. maybe I'm misremembering the score, but Kansas was ahead 2 scores and then back down to 8. Kansas kind of controlled this thing. I like fake close. That's a term I'll use. But I'll tell you what, I kind of want to start the conversation here about Jalen Daniels, because at a certain point, he is a Heisman candidate. Through 4 weeks, he absolutely is. He's been the best quarterback in the Big 12, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. Third down and 10, Kansas 15-yard line. Kansas is up 8. So all you need is a field goal. It was like 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, give or take. Field goal, you're up 2 scores, probably going to win that game. He threw a ball in such a tight window to Quentin Skinner between two defenders. Sorry, I'm doing the hand motions again. I'll have to stop that.
I love it.
But he fitted into – how else would people know how tight the window was, Kent? It was a tight window. And Quentin Skinner makes an incredibly difficult catch. But that's a throw that takes some balls to throw in the first place. Like, I'm sure the coaches are telling him, do not put that ball in jeopardy. Do not turn this thing over. And the guy with all the charisma, the leader of this team, the guy who's now had 5 total touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, puts a beautiful ball, quick strike, right on target. KU gets a touchdown, then Duke scores a touchdown. Kansas wins by 8. That, to me, encapsulated the growth of Jalen Daniels, who has just become this sort of mastermind quarterback who can pick you apart any number of ways. And after the game, you know what? Jalen Daniels was talking about reads he didn't make, and how there was a give to Devin Neal we should have given him, and he might have had a touchdown late in the game too.
I think it might have been on the final possession too. Yeah, I'm just guessing. Mm-hmm. Just watching through the game live. I was able to watch the fourth quarter from home. We got home. Mm-hmm. Our two kids were not having it. We only got to be there for half the game.
Too much cheering.
They weren't ready. They weren't about that life. It's okay. They're still young. But yeah, no, I think I saw a couple of those things. I it was not a clean performance, and I think that's what's so encouraging about this game. Weirdly, is I think Kansas should have beat the brakes off this team, like on paper, or not even on paper. I think Kansas is the better football team, inarguably. There's no doubt about it. Neutral site, they win that game. I think they win that game comfortably. If they play it, you know, 10 out of, that's not 10 out of 10 times. It's 9 or 8 out of 10. Kansas is better than Duke.
Can I make a quick point about the Duke defense? And I'm curious where you're at with this. Like, Mike Elko had those guys in the right positions a lot of the time, but Kansas won a lot of those one-on-one battles, especially like LJ Arnold, Daniel Hyshaw. Absolutely. I mean, he Marshawn Lynch threw the defense on one play. Even Jalen Daniels, like Devin Neal before he got banged up. It felt like Kansas, to your point, was just better. When the execution was there, Kansas got open plays. And when it wasn't, Kansas was still good enough to win those one-on-one matchups, I thought.
I think Duke did a pretty good job on the running backs, weirdly. I mean, from a run fit perspective, like, I think there was a little bit of like, you know, we're going to try to get some shots on the quarterback a little bit. They're, you know, I'm not saying that they're willing to let Jalen Daniels give, but I think they had the wall pretty well built on a lot of plays. I think you saw, you know, it was a little bit of feast or famine in the run game for KU this week, because, you know, like they were getting into some and long situations on third downs. You know, first down run didn't work. Second down run, 1 or 2 yards. Like, that was happening here or there in this game. But, you know, Jalen Daniels made some good decisions running the football, and they busted some big plays at times. They were able to get some explosives out of it. So, you know, it was a little bit of a mixed bag running the football. And yeah, I think that the defense did a really good job against the run. But now I think this is where I need to rant. Can I rant for a second?
Go off, Kent. We've been waiting.
Last week, in game preparation, in his pre-game, you know, midweek press conference, Dana Holgorsen called Jalen Daniels a running back that can throw. I didn't like that very much, Scott. I think that was disrespectful to one of the Heisman candidates in college football, Jalen Daniels, and what he's able to do as a drop back passer. I know that this offense has a lot of moving pieces and parts that maybe kind of, you know, overshadow some of the true, real drop back game that this team has shown, that Jalen Daniels has shown in the last few years. I think you got to see a little bit of it this week. I think I think KU was in more traditional drop back looks this week than they had in previous weeks. And guess what, Dana? He's a quarterback. He's a passer. He can drop back as good as about anybody in college football these days. He's a good passer. And I thought it was extremely disrespectful the way he kind of, and yes, Jalen was a running back against Houston a little bit. Don't get me wrong, but I think that's disrespectful. He's a quarterback that can run like a running back. And I think there's a distinction there that needed to be set. And I think Jalen Daniels proved it again today, because I thought he did a really nice job in the pass game in a lot of different areas. So I was very annoyed by that. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to finally start getting some respect on his name in every facet of the game.
Yeah, well, think about the throw he had kind of off his back foot, fading backward, where he threw it to Luke Grimm in the corner of the end zone. That was phenomenal. He also makes plays. You know, I was talking to Luke Grimm after this one, and I just asked him, like, with all the counters and offensive, like, kind of wrinkles Kansas puts in, like, what percent of the offense would he say they've shown? And Luke Grimm looks at me and he goes 3%, and then he goes 2%, 1%. And I'm like, how do you guys, like, how do you get all these plays? And he said every Monday they go over 50 new plays for the week, 50. And then Tuesday they're drilling those 50 plays. And I think it shows. But now think about the quarterback. Jalen, like, for a receiver, for a running back, for a blocker, you're doing a lot of the same things. For Jalen Daniels, he is the maestro of this offense. Like, he's got to make sure everyone is in the right spots. He's got to make the reads. He's got to make the decisions. Sometimes it's running the ball. Sometimes it's putting his body in jeopardy, then coming right back and throwing the ball. I think he's being asked to do way more than a comment calling him like a running back that also throws the ball would tend to do. Now, I think he probably meant it complimentary. But yeah, Jalen Daniels is a really, really good quarterback. And think about the stress he's putting on the defense now. Like, Kansas will run a pre-snap jet, or, you know, pre-snap move a guy, you know, left side of the field to the right. Now all of a sudden Duke is taking safeties, and the direction the guy just cleared out of, they're moving him up to the line of scrimmage because they don't know which way KU is going and what's real and what's fake, what's moving around. And again, Jalen Daniels has to keep all of that in his mind. Kent, to me, this was Jalen Daniels' best game so far, because he really didn't put the ball in jeopardy. He made huge plays. He made plays into some tight windows, and candidly, he could have been better. Like, he still could have been better. He had 5 touchdowns. He had a career high in receiving yards. I think he had over 400 yards if you count what he did rushing the ball. He was phenomenal. And I think this Duke team played Kansas pretty close to how some other defenses are going to try to play Kansas defensively. The fact that he had success today and found the right one-on-one matchups, I think that's a huge deal for this Kansas team.
Yeah, very good decision maker today. I think he threw the ball pretty well, all things considered. A couple of throws that stick out to me, the fade to Luke Grimm late in the first quarter was massive, was a huge, huge play. I think that kind of put the Jayhawks in control of that game. The throw coming out of the second half to LJ Arnold, in their territory, in plus territory, throwing a strike kind of in between a deep safety and a corner. It looked like it might've been some kind of cover two look, or some kind of, you know, too high structure there, and just throwing a dot there. Those were two big plays there. And you talked about, you know, the red zone play to Quentin Skinner. I actually think he throttled that. I think he tried to throttle Quentin Skinner down a little bit on that dig route too. I don't know. Like, he was trying to protect him from hitting into that, you know, into that linebacker in the middle of the field. So, like, there were some really, really strong 19 of 23, 324 yards, 4 touchdowns, 87 yards on the ground, 411 yards of offense running in pass for Jalen Daniels. Now, he was awesome. We have to talk about where 73 of that 324 yards came from.
Yeah.
And it was Daniel Hyshaw's incredible effort for a receiving touchdown in the first quarter. And we can talk about the play in a second here, Scott, but when I look at that play, I was there at the stadium for the first half. I was feeling the energy and the tension. That touchdown catch, which really doesn't do what Daniel Hyshaw did justice there.
A lot of yak.
He was yeeting a lot of Duke players too. That was a moment to me that broke the nerves, that broke and changed the energy of that building and for that football team. And I think everything after that was a lot different. That was just a strong response in a game that was tight, where KU hadn't really played particularly well yet. And he just goes out and makes one of the most outstanding individual performances you're going to see all season. to get a 73-yard touchdown. That was a moment for me when I'm watching Kansas football that tells me, hey, look, like things are different. And that was proof.
Yeah. I'm going to rave about Daniel Heisha. I want to start with the pass there because last week I highlighted a few instances where a blitzer came and instead of shying away, immediately tucking, running the opposite direction, Jalen turned into the direction of the blitzer and found a guy. He found two running backs and a tight end last week. And he did it again, right? A blitzer, an extra blitzer came. I think it was a safety. And he had time. He looked that way. He knew his running back is going to be open because they don't have enough guys to cover everyone with that extra blitzer. But yeah, Daniel Heisha in the open field, I think that's the type of play that's happened to Kansas a lot, where you feel like the game is close or you feel like the other team hasn't played that well or Kansas is in the game. And then all of a sudden, one of those guys just makes like a game-breaking play and you're wondering, why can't anyone tackle or why can't anyone just bring him down or push him out of bounds or something? That's a play that has happened to Kansas a lot. I've seen it happen to Kansas a lot. And when I think you're right, when Daniel Heisha did that, that was the first kind of indication that like, hey, Kansas has like legitimate serious talent that is not just kind of the splash in the pan, lucky start, catching teams off guard with the triple option. They just got some dudes who are going to be able to make plays and they kind of continue to do so. I got another play, Kent, that I want to ask you about. It was probably my favorite call of the game. It looked like a triple option left. Jalen Daniels stops, plants, sets his feet, goes the other way. And I thought the giveaway on this play is Jared Casey had lined up in the left slot. And usually when there's a run play, Jared Casey is going to be blocking involved in that run play. He's very good at that. He had run all the way across the field to the right sideline. Jalen turns, sets his feet, finds him. I think it was a first down conversion. I can't totally remember.
It was. It was like a 26-yard completion when it was all said and done. Something. It was an explosive play.
Yeah, Andy Kotelnicki being in his bag is a thing that gets said a lot. But I saw someone tweet, like a reporter, or, you know, I'm not trying to blow anyone up, but someone who doesn't cover Kansas said, like, Kansas just does like 7 or 8 things fundamentally very well, and they do them over and over. That's absolutely true. Like, Kansas has mastered some offensive fundamentals that allows them to, you know, be very effective. This is an air raid. Like, that's a very advanced thing, down to just having everyone sell the play the right way to make sure the guy gets open on the end of it. And when I saw a play like that and thought, that's one of God knows how many counters for the triple option that they have, where they bring everyone going one way and all of a sudden the pass is going all the way down to the right sideline because Jalen Daniels has a ridiculously strong arm and can make a left hash to a right sideline throw. To me, Kansas is just scraping the surface of what it can do. And I think Andy Kotelnicki knows that. Like, I think he's introducing more and more a little bit every week. And you're right, the drop back passing game was so much more evident, so much more used this week too. I thought it was pretty cool.
Hey, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, leave comments if you want. It really helps us kind of grow this show as we're, you know, and it helps more Jayhawk fans find this show as we are doing it live. So please do that. Yeah, and so here's the thing. That play. They tried something similar last week. It's a kind of a leak concept. You're getting a flow action one direction. You're trying to pop a backside throw. They actually tried that against Houston, and it was another attempt to Jared Casey as well. Jalen Daniels felt a little bit of pressure, had to kind of scramble and had to kind of cut up field. I don't think he gained very many yards. It was actually in plus territory for KU against Houston. So they tried it wasn't exactly the same. Mm-hmm. How they built, you know, how they presented it was different. It was a little bit more triple option look than true play action, I believe, this time around. But that was actually something that they tried the week prior. I was blown away by the window dressing and the presentation of this concept this week more than I was last week. And the execution was outstanding by Jalen Daniels, giving himself a little bit of time. It was just a great play call. And like, I do think, like, to your point, like, defenses have not figured Kansas out by any stretch. That's not what I'm here to say. I do think the way Duke was able to get prepared in a week for Kansas and was able to take some things away to their credit is probably, you know, it's a representation of what you are going to see moving forward for this team. Like, you are going to start seeing that a little bit more.
Yeah, and Ken, again, we've talked a lot about where this team goes from here. I want to hit before we get out of here, but I want to also talk about the defense a little bit. And I want to kind of gauge your temperature where you feel about this team defensively. Because what I saw today, again, I thought Kansas was pretty good in its run fits and just making sure that Duke had to be one-dimensional. I saw a level of tackling and play on the outside that I don't know that I've seen. Like, I thought Jacoby Bryant may have made the best two tackles of his Kansas football career. I thought Kalon Gervin was tested. He was tested a few times, absolutely. I thought he came through. Marvin Grant got run over on one play and then made sure to get the guy back. He absolutely smacked into him. I was tremendously impressed with how that secondary stepped up.
I think they did some really good things. They also put some stuff that are probably going to bring you some concern. You know, the tackling was great. I mean, and you're right. I mean, I think Romello Dotson and Jacoby Bryant both got banged up a little bit on a couple of those big physical plays out there. I think there was an attempt for Duke to try to get some plays out on the edge there. You know, they had their struggles trying to win at the catch point too this week. I mean, there was some, you know, Duke's offense. We talked about it at the top. A lot of Duke's offense was like, hey, let's try to throw to, you know, let's try to challenge outside and try to make some plays on the ball and hope we get some chunk plays with some, you know, some prayers. And the prayers were answered a couple times. So like, I do think that's something that you're going to, you know, I think you put on tape. I think you're going to see more teams trying to take more shots outside, similar to what you just saw. Like, that's something that is probably going to happen a little bit more when Iowa State comes to town. But, you know, I think you got to be pleased with some of the other things you saw out of that cornerback, out of that secondary too. So things got a little real this week, I think, Scott, like in a lot of different ways. I think as KU fans, you know, 4-0, incredible. This is awesome. This is surreal. I think you can start looking at things a little bit differently. You know, sure, enjoy the ride, but now, you know, probably it's a little bit more like, okay, you know, things are heating up here. Might want to start kind of looking at some of the things that can or can't keep you from winning that fifth game. Now it's a little different, I feel now.
Yeah. Well, let's turn the conversation to the next 2 weeks, because Kansas isn't just 4-0. Kansas is 4-0 with two home games coming up. And I thought this game was extra huge for a number of reasons, one of which being you sold this one out. You're probably selling next week out. Iowa State will help some. They travel great, and they've had games where they had a lot of fans here too. But Kansas fans will show up for this game. And then you've got that next game after that too against TCU. You could be looking down the barrel of three straight sellouts, certainly. I mean, really, you have to go 1-1 in your next two. And then you get six chances to finish this thing off with a bowl game where no one had Kansas. I mean, Kent, I was talking about the ceiling of this KU team being in the 4-6 range at the beginning of this season. I think if you're Kansas, you've done everything you could through non-conference. You've survived that test against West Virginia, where I felt like Kansas was the better team. Yeah, it does get real. And I think Lance Leipold was processing that after the game when we talked to him. I think he was being pretty critical of like the mistakes and the errors and things KU was making, like he always does. But when he was kind of asked at the end, he was like, what has surprised you about where this team is? Or like, what's different? Like, he didn't know what to say. Like, he was speechless for a little bit. He thought about it. And he just talked about maybe their positivity and their resolve that when things are going wrong, they're still coming through. And maybe he didn't know they'd be able to do that. But yeah, this is now just like, okay, Kansas is a good football team that has the chance to maybe finish in the middle of the Big 12, if not higher, that has a chance to really stress teams offensively, that has a chance to start 5-1 or 6-0, which would obviously be tremendous. I mean, this is the most wins Kansas has had since 2009 already. And the season is four games in, right? They've got 2/3 of the season left. Expectations, everything is out the window. I think we'll need a few days to reflect on that and to kind of accurately put it back into context. But this opportunity being 4-0 with two games at home coming up, you never get things like this, and Kansas has something special kind of brewing here.
Absolutely. And it's about to, I think, you know, things are about to get a lot more challenging. Like, you are now in the teeth of Big 12 play. There are big, Iowa State's going to be the toughest team that Kansas has played to this point. TCU is 3-0, beating SMU, I believe, at SMU today. Those big challenges. The good news is you have a really, really, really good quarterback, a really, really, really good offense, a trump card to hang your hat on. And if, you know, that's going to put you in a lot of games, it's going to give you a chance in a lot of games. And let's just see what happens the next eight, you know. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm that this was a cool experience. It feels different emotionally for me I think today this is more sigh of relief, I think, for a lot of KU fans than maybe Houston was. Houston felt like house money. The crippling expectations are,
yeah,
kind of, you know, the how crippling expectations can feel, I think, you know, KU answered and so that was massive. That was huge. That was a really, really fun game to watch. Scott, I know you've got to get out of here pretty quick, right? So
yeah, can I rant quickly?
Absolutely. We need a Scott rant.
So I don't like the top 25 as a rule. I think the top 25 is dumb because it's so much of it is based on preseason expectations, right? A team is preseason ranked 10, then loses to one. Now they're ranked 20. It's like, well, hold on. What have they done besides, you know, they've recruited well. I think people have an idea. So it all goes back to this question of, do you rank your top 25 by what they've done or what you think about them, whatever. Kansas is 4-0 now. Kansas has, in effect, beaten three Power 5 teams, two of which on the road. The West Virginia game was the closest of that. Obviously, it went into overtime. Kansas was the better team and up two scores late in that game. Had kind of a fluky start. That's the only reason why that game was even close. Generally, I don't care about rankings. Like I said, I think they're dumb. This Kansas team deserves to be ranked. And it's not because they've taken anyone by storm. It's because four opponents have come in, including a former Texas A&M defensive coordinator who captained, you know, like a phenomenal defense, and said, I've got no clue how to stop these guys. Like, the most success someone has had against Kansas gave up 35 points with Kansas taking its foot off the gas at several points because it was leading and basically having two fourth and ones that accounted for stops in this game, one of which they had a penalty, the other one they were stuffed by the goal line.
And a red zone fumble.
And a red zone. And that's the best. That's the most success anyone has had. So I think at this point, anyone who is voting a team with any losses, frankly, over this Kansas team in the top 25, that's fine. And I completely respect if they're coming at it from the perspective of, oh, well, if these teams played in a neutral field, what would the Vegas betting line be? And that's totally fine. But that runs counter to college football and to what is happening here. And I realize it's a little hypocritical, again, just because of the opinion I do hold of that poll in general. Kansas is 4-0. Kansas has survived every test that has been put in front of it and multiple Power 5 opponents, including road games, and backed it up by covering the spread against a Power 5 team at home. Okay? Kansas needs to be ranked, and Kansas is not the number 25 team squeaking into the poll. Like, I want to see Kansas jump all the way up into the top 20, and I want to see ESPN College Game Day come out here for Iowa State because I think that's going to be a lot of fun, too.
All that being said, Miami, number 25 ranked Miami's down 17-3 to Middle Tennessee State, and they're driving. Just saying. real quick, the NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's not enough. Everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100% without payouts bigger than ever. Or with payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game all season long. Download the DraftKings Sports app now and use promo code KCSN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code KCSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. They are in there. Thank you, everybody that's been watching. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. It's helping us grow this channel. What a fun day out at the booth. It was cool to see this team respond personally. Just, I didn't realize how nervous, anxious I was as a lifetime KU fan. I didn't sleep well last night. I woke up in the middle of the night a little bit trying to, you know, and I mean, I felt it differently than I have. I haven't felt that about a football game since like Mahomes' first game as a starter in 2018. Like, that's the kind of emotion I had and anxiousness I had. So to see this team respond in such a big way has been a lot of fun. It's been really cool. And we're going to enjoy this one. We're going to be back early next week to break down this game even further. We're going to be talking about Heisman candidate Jalen Daniels even farther. I have a feeling, especially after you get more eyes on this game. for Scott.
National media here. National media here. Kent, The Athletic, I believe, was here. CBS Sports. Lots of people. I saw someone with a Cheez-It Bowl shirt, too.
That is that's the most important thing. Where's the Cheez-It Bowl right now? I'm going to start booking my...
It might have been canceled. They might have changed the sponsor on that. I can't remember.
I'm going to start... It's in Orlando.
Okay.
It's in Orlando. There's worse places to be, just saying. There's not many better places to be than the booth where Scott Chasen's at right now. I'm Ken Swanson. That's Scott Chasen. Thank you all so much for watching the Booth Review post game show. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button on the way out. We'll be back later in the week. Catch you later.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.